Good morning. It's summer again. Only Satan can ruin a good word like the word green, right? I used to love green. I used to love green grass and green trees, but boy, he sure ruined that word. Okay, you got a handout before we started, and I'm going to refer to that later, but it's just something you can keep for your use. It's the kings of the divided kingdom. So you have the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah as they appear in the scriptures. And so it's just a nice reference for you to have since I worked it up, make it available to you. But we'll come back to that in a little bit. Our message today is about who are the Judeans? Remember, last time I spoke, we learned that the word Jew doesn't actually appear in the original scriptures. It was a word that came into being probably about the 18th century. It was inserted into the Bibles for whatever reason. But so we're going to go back and discover again who were the Judahites or who were the Judeans, what you would used to call the Jews. Okay, now I'm kind of getting away from that word, like I got away from the word church and hell and things like that in the scriptures. So some of this you're going to know, and some of it you're maybe new to you. So bear with me on that. And I'm going to take 4 weeks of study and squeeze it into 30 minutes of lesson here. So be ready to roll, okay? Instead of the word Jews, the Old Testament would be Judahites or Judahites, and the New Testament would be Judeans. So that's what we discovered in our last study. And today we're going to try to unravel a lot of scriptures from various points. You probably know that 1 and 2 Kings are about the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel together. And that's where this chart came from that I just handed out to you. But when you get to Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles are only about Judah. And 1 Chronicles is Adam to David's death. And 2 Chronicles is from the kings of Judah to the Babylonian captivity. And it's only about the kings of Judah. So a lot of stuff is repeated in Chronicles that we're seeing Kings. So what we're going to try to do today is unravel who are the Judeans? Who is the kingdom of Judah? And you're going to find pieces of this in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and Daniel. Now, we're not going to cover all those today, okay? Just some pieces of it there. So the United Kingdom of Israel was under David for 40 years. That's 960 BC to 920 BC. And then Solomon took over, his son, for 40 years, 920 BC to 880 BC. And then Rehoboam took over, and he only had maybe generously 1 year before the kingdom was divided. So under Solomon, it was prophesied to be divided, and it was divided unto his son Rehoboam and one of his servants, Jeroboam. And you can find this in 1 Kings 11:11. if you want to open there, we can, but wherefore the king said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, all the things that Solomon did that he wasn't supposed to do, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. That would be Jeroboam. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David's, my father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend it away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So then in 2 Kings 11:29, there is this prophet who came to Jeroboam. And a man, Jeroboam, was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon seeing the young man, and he was industrious, and made him ruler over charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass that when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment. And there were just two of them in the field, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I will give 10 tribes to thee, but he shall have one tribe. For my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. So that's the prophecy of the garment. So Rehoboam had 12 tribes. He was under all 12, over all 12 tribes for less than a year. Then Jeroboam was given 10 tribes and Rehoboam was given one tribe. You're saying, well, that only makes 11. Okay, we'll keep that thought in mind. So the 12 tribes of the kingdom of Israel were originally these names here. And you can go back and find those in Genesis, wherever you want, but those are the original 12 tribes of Israel. But then in Genesis 46:20, Joseph's tribe was split into Manasseh and Ephraim. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore, they give no part to the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in and their suburbs for their cattle and their substance. So the children of Joseph, in Joshua 16:4, Manasseh and Ephraim took their inheritance. So Jeroboam had 10 tribes. Rehoboam had one tribe, according to 1 Kings 11:35. Through 36. So when you break Joseph into two tribes, now you have 13 tribes, right? I'm not a math expert, but I think that's right. And Jeroboam was giving over the kingdom of Israel 10 tribes. So it never says what 10 tribes in the scriptures. But I think these are the 10 tribes that he was given: Reuben, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, Manasseh, Ephraim, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And this was 880 BC when the kingdom was split. Rehoboam was over the kingdom of Judah. And it says he had one tribe only, and that was Judah. And that was also same time, 880 BC. So the kingdom of Israel was called the Northern Kingdom, and its capital was Samaria. And the kingdom of Judah is called the Southern Kingdom, and it is has its capital Jerusalem. So here we see a map of the two kingdoms. The Northern Kingdom of Israel in the blue, and the yellow is the Southern Kingdom of Judah. And Samaria was the capital of the blue kingdom of Israel, and Jerusalem was the capital of the yellow kingdom of Judah. So you got that in your mind? One good thing about these slides is that you can visualize things and retain them better, I think. So this all is going to be good information to visualize. So the kingdom of Judah was made up of the house of Judah, oh, and the tribe of Benjamin. So we're going to find that in 1 Kings 12. 21, and or also in 2 Chronicles 11:1. And 1 Kings 12:21, it says, and when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin. This is the first mention of the tribe of Benjamin in that. And 84,000 chosen men. So, pretty big crowd, 180,000. And he was going to go beat up on Jeroboam. and bring all the other tribes back to under his authority. But the Lord says, no, you're not going to do that. That's not my plan. So so God came to speak unto so the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and the remnant of the people. In verse 22 and 23, now we have another part. Who are the remnant of the people? Somebody study that and let me know, okay? But there's now, and to the remnant of the people. This is the first mention of this. Thus saith the Lord God, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren and the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord and returned and departed according to the word of the Lord. So the kingdom of Judah, if you go to 2 Chronicles 11, we're going to see the mention of the Levites. So now we have the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, the remnant of the people, and the Levites. Why are the Levites there? Well, Jeroboam took all the low people and made them priests. And there was nothing for the Levites to do. So they left. Initially, they were with they weren't mentioned because they don't have an inheritance, so they weren't mentioned in any list. But the Levites were originally with the with the kingdom of Israel. But Jeroboam made all the low people priests, and the Levites then went to Judah. So now the Levites have joined with Judah in the kingdom of Judah. And then we have the priests and the Levites that were in all in Israel resorted to him out of their coast. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest office unto the Lord, and he ordained him priests for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, as set their hearts to seek the Lord of God, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. So now we have all of the tribes of Israel, their people coming back to Judah. So I think what you're seeing here, that God is sifting out who really are his followers, because the tribe of the kingdom of Israel was very wicked and they did anything but follow the Lord. But now we see people trickling out of those tribes coming back into Jerusalem to the kingdom of Judah. I just thought originally, and I thought for many years, the kingdom of Judah was just Judah and Benjamin and maybe some Levites. So now we're starting to see a trickle back in here. So the kingdom of Judah is the house of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, a remnant of the people, the Levites. And if you go to 2 Chronicles 15:9, then we have we have a reference to some more people. 2 Chronicles 15:9. Let me turn there. And it says, and he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him, meaning Judah. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year in the reign of Asa. And you'll find Asa probably on the back side of your list of kings. So now we've added Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon. Then we go to 2 Chronicles 30, 11. So there were some posts sent out to gather people from Israel to Judah, but the posts in verse 10, so the posts passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So here again, the bad people just laughed, and the good people went over to Judah's side. So these are from Asher and Zebulun. And in verse 18, it says, for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did present at Jerusalem, kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. So now we've added Issachar to that list. And the kingdom of Judah, now down to verse 25, adds, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the king of David, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not like in Jerusalem. So, Peter said, told me one time, he said, well, I thought the Jews were all the tribes of Israel. They'd come back together. Well, part of them did. The good ones did. The bad ones never came back. The bad ones were set aside and gone. So now we're at the point where on the back side of your handout, we've come to 611 BC, where the kingdom of Israel is taken captive by the Assyrians in the 9th year of Hoshi and the 6th year of Hezekiah. Hoshi was the king of Israel. Hezekiah was the king of Judah. And there were none left but the tribe of Judah. So this is where people believe, well, the 10 tribes are lost. They're gone forever. Adios. We just now have Judah, Benjamin, and some Levites. But as we've seen, there was a trickle of these people coming back to Judah out of these other tribes. So now, during this time between Israel being taken captive in 611 and 496, when Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem to take Judah, we have some things going on here. There were some people, well, Hezekiah, the king of Assyria, now was coming after Jerusalem and Hezekiah, and he was going to attack them. Well, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. He did sacrifices to the Lord. Hezekiah was a good king in Judah. And he prayed and prayed that God would protect him, and God did. And Isaiah prophesied that the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Hezekiah got real sick, and he asked the Lord, and the Lord gave him 15 more years. So the Lord was pretty pleased with Hezekiah during this time. So that's where the prophet Isaiah comes in. He's in this time. And so the kingdom of Judah was taken captive by the Babylonians in 496 is when it started, and it wasn't until 477 B.C. that Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy, tear down the city and the temple. So that's when it was completed. But according to 2 Kings 24, 14 through 16. Let's take a look at that. Second Kings 24, 14 through 16. We'll go back to verse 11. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, because Jehoiakim was only 18 years old when he started the reign in Judah. So he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign. So he was only 26 years old when he was taken. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house, and cut into pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, the king of Israel, had made in the temple and the Lord, and as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. So Nebuchadnezzar took all the good people. He took all the skilled people and the noble people. And what was left in Jerusalem was just the poor of the land to take care of the crops, to dress the vineyards and so forth. And Nebuchadnezzar set over them Gedaliah, who was their leader over these people left in Jerusalem. Well, they were afraid of the Chaldees, the people that were left in Jerusalem. They didn't want this guy over them. So they decided, well, let's just sneak out to Egypt. And Jeremiah says, you don't want to do that, because if you stay here, the Lord's going to protect you. If you go to Egypt, it ain't going to go good for you. And they told Jeremiah, you're a liar. We don't believe you. Well, they went down to Egypt, and they were slaughtered. And before they went to Egypt, Gedaliah was killed, and all the Jews that were with him. So there was a remnant that survived in Egypt. The Lord said, I'm going to leave a remnant. They're going to go back to Jerusalem just to show what I mean when I said. And they were going to be left to tell that story. Okay. Hello. My remote quit. I scared it. So how many times did it jump? Okay. Okay. I'm skipping something here. Okay. So now we're at the point where I think we're at that point. Let me check. Yep, that's the next slide. So now we're at the point where we have the first occurrence of the word Jew in our English version. 2 Kings 16:6. Rezin, the king of Syria, drave the Jews from Elath. So these were under Ahaz, the king of Judah, just before Israel, under their king Pekah, were taken captive by the king of Assyria. So this is where we get the first abbreviated word Jews in the Old Testament, which would have been Judahites. The second occurrence of Jew is in 2 Kings 25:25. Where Nethaniah smote Gedaliah. Remember, he was over the people left in Jerusalem, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him. So a lot of the Jews that were left there were wiped out again. So they might have escaped the Babylonian captivity, but then they were wiped out with Gedaliah. The third and fourth occurrence of the word Jew would be found in Daniel, because Daniel now is in the time of Babylonian captivity. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, and this is in Daniel chapter 3, that was 60 cubits high in Dura in Babylon. And he made a decree that everybody is going to bow down and worship to this image. And certain Chaldeans came in verse 3:8, came near and accused the Jews. There were some Jews who weren't bowing down to this golden image. And in 3:12, it says certain Jews were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these, again, were Judahites. That ties into our lesson last time, that we're talking about the word Jews. So now in Ezra 1:5, we're going to be coming out of Babylon. Who was coming out of Babylon? Remember, Cyrus, the king, was, according to the Lord's plan, was giving these people freedom to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. And coming out of Babylon were the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, in Ezra 1:5, the priests and the Levites, and all them whose spirit of God had raised. Okay. Ezra 2:64, it says the whole congregation was 42,360 that came out of Babylon, plus 3,737 servants and maids, plus 200 singers and porters and nethinims. The nethinims were their helpers for the Levites, I think. So now Ezra in 3:1 refers to this group of people now as the children of Israel. Is that confusing? In Ezra 4:1, he refers to them as Judah and Benjamin. That was a common name for these people. They were called Judah and Benjamin. Another common name. So in Ezra 6:17, they were offering several things as sacrifices, and the one thing they offered were 12 he-goats, according to the numbers of the tribes of Israel. This is after they came out of captivity and are back in rebuilding in Jerusalem, and this is probably for the dedication of the temple, maybe. I forget what that verse is referring to. Ezra 6:21 is referred to, again, as the children of Israel. I've learned a lot going through this study. I don't know about you, but when you sit down and really get into it. In Ezra 7:13, they're referred to as all they of the people of Israel. In Ezra 10:9, they're referred to all the men of Judah and Benjamin. We're going so fast, a projector can't keep up. We got two more slides to go. Are you talking to the computer? So the last time we studied this, the last two slides, one is the Strong's word in Hebrews 30:64, Yehudi. So all the words we've been talking about were referred to the Jews in the Old Testament is the word Yehudi. And that means patronymically from 3063, which is Yehuda. So the word Jew in the Old Testament was a Judahite. Or a descendant of Jehuda, that is Judah. And the Strong's for the Greek in the New Testament was Judeos, in a sense of as a country or from a country, a Judean belonging to Jehuda or of Judea. So in the original Hebrew and Greek, the word Jew was not used. And what we can conclude from this study is that the kingdom of Judah and those who went into the New Testament, continued on into the New Testament, all those were of the spirit that God chose, the spirit of God chose. So God was sifting the chaff from the wheat. He was several times in the scriptures it talks about sifting. So the evil people from the kingdom of Israel were gone. But the ones who were really dedicated, serious people that were following God trickled back to the kingdom of Judah. So as you can see here, Peter was right. Almost all the tribes had representatives back into the kingdom of Judah. And they're called the children of Israel, but it's not the same as original Israel, because these are the ones that were following God. Now, next time we're going to take a look into what happened between the Old Testament and New Testament to these people. It's interesting because this is where you start to see the Pharisees and the Sadducees and where they started coming in. And we know that the kings of Israel, the Herods, were Edomites. They were not Semites, but they converted to Judaism for political purposes, so that the Roman Caesars would appoint them leaders over this little province of Israel. It was a province of Rome. It was a satellite province of Rome. So these Herod kings were not Semites. They were not real children of Israel. They were false, fake Jews.
So the Khazars came out of this group?
I don't know. The Khazars started about 1 BC. And Herod the Great died 4 BC. So he was the first one. He had a Nabataean wife. And so there might be some connection there, but I'm not going to say there is. Because the Khazars, we studied, didn't turn to Judaism until the 7th century, 600 AD. That's when they adopted Judaism. So in Revelation, when it talks to the one of the churches about Jews, people who say they're Jews and they're not. We have the Khazars today, but back in biblical times, there was the Herods. And I'm not too sure there were some Hasmoneans. There were the Hasmoneans and the Maccabees and all these between the Testaments that maybe adopted Judaism. But then, by then, Judaism had become Talmudism. The Talmud started about 200 BC. And by the time Christ got on the scene, the Talmud and its traditions overtook the Word of God. and Phariseeism. So we'll talk about that next time. But it's interesting to see where all this leads. Because we do have people today, they say they're Jews in Israel, but are they? Are they really? Any questions? Did you keep up with all that? If you want copies of this slide presentation, I think, did you get mine, Tim? Did you get some a couple weeks ago, Tim? Did I send you a presentation? Did I email you a presentation a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
You got it? Okay. So it'll work. I can email these. Anybody has an email that wants me to email these slides, that'll help. I do have some written notes, but I kind of stray from those and go by the slides sometimes. Any other questions? Well, I hope this glorifies God. I hope it pursues we're pursuing the truth of God's word, so I hope this helps in our studies in that way. I know this isn't about the body of Christ. It isn't to us, but it's for us. And it's on our way to learning what we're part of and what we're not part of as far as rightly dividing. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for this magnificent study. We threw 4 weeks of study into 30 minutes here. So may someone be touched by these words and learn from them to your glory. May everybody have a safe week and a safe drive home today. In God's name we pray. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.